Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 16, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're at verse 14. And one of the greatest doctrines in the Word of God, the doctrine of resurrection. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood, gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14 sounds like this: knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Well, this introduced one of the great doctrines of the Word of God, the doctrine of resurrection. We have studied the first 5 points of the doctrine of resurrection. We just barely got started in point 6. A short review of some of the points. We noted in point 1, definition and description, first of all, that there are 2 returns from the dead. There is resuscitation and there is resurrection. Resuscitation means a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption, and therefore he eventually dies again. Such as Lazarus in John 11, 32 to 44. Such as the Apostle Paul, Acts 14, 19 and 20. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4. Secondly, there is resurrection. And resurrection means a person returns from the dead in a body of incorruption, and therefore he never dies again. Point two was the sovereignty of God and physical death. Now, we are here in this time. Let's say that, I know we're going to be studying the rapture here because that's the resurrection of the royal family of God. As you live this, your life, there are two phases of your life. There is the living phase and there is the dying phase. Now, all of us, unless we're in the rapture generation and nobody knows, well, I'm take it back. I know exactly. Have you ever heard anybody say they know when the rapture is going to occur? I know exactly when the rapture is going to occur. As soon as the body of Christ is finished. When that last person believes in Christ and enters into the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is completed, the rapture will take place right exactly then. When is that? Hell, I don't know. We could be in the rapture generation, we might not. I thought for sure after the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup, the rapture would happen then. But that's not in the Bible anywhere. You have a living phase and a dying phase. And we are here to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ in both our living phase and in our dying phase. And that dying phase is different for every single person. It can be very short. It can be very long. But we have that living phase and dying phase. Now, our point here is that the sovereignty of God and physical death. The death of the believer is always God's victory. It makes no difference if you are a winner believer or a loser believer. All believers go to heaven. The believer's death means he is absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. In a place of no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more death, and the Lord's timing is perfect. It's never too soon. It's never too late. Death, physical death, always come at the exact right time. No matter how accidental a death may appear, or no matter who was negligent or at fault, the death of a loved one was all in God's timing and from His wisdom. That brought us to point three, the pattern for the first resurrection. There are two resurrections. The first resurrection is for believers only. The second resurrection is for unbelievers only. Point three is the pattern for the first resurrection. And the key passage on that was 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. And the key word in that passage was the Greek word tagma. T-A-G-M-A, tagma. And Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 810, tells us that this word is a military technical term for bodies of troops. The first resurrection, therefore, is pictured as a battalion pass in review. And therefore, it's divided into four echelons. There is Alpha Company. Alpha Company is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first fruits. There's no resurrection. No resurrection in the Old Testament. Why? Because the first fruits, Alpha Company, is Jesus Christ. he had not been resurrected. So the first resurrection is Alpha Company, the resurrection of Christ. He's the first fruit, 1 Corinthians 15:20, Acts 2:29 to 36. Then comes Bravo Company. That's us. We are Bravo Company. We come next. The resurrection of the royal family of God at the end of the church age. What's the end of the church age? The rapture. That is the resurrection of Bravo Company. John 14, 1-3, Philippians 3, 20-21, 1 Corinthians 15, 51-57, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. Then comes Charlie Company. Charlie Company is the resurrection of the Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs at the end of the tribulation at the second advent of Jesus Christ. We saw that in Daniel 12:2, Isaiah 26:19 and 20, Job 19:25 to 27, Revelation 20 verse 4. And then fourth is Delta Company. And Delta Company is the resurrection of the millennial saints at the end of the millennial kingdom. So point three was the pattern of the first resurrection. And the first resurrection is pictured as a battalion pass in review. Then point four. In point four, we noted there are two general resurrections. The first resurrection is for believers only. The resurrection to eternal life, Revelation 20, verse 6. And the second resurrection is for unbelievers only. Resurrection to eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. And this is called the second death, Revelation 20, 11 to 15, and John 5, 28 and 29. The difference between the first resurrection and the second resurrection is one's attitude toward Jesus Christ. And that's made very clear in John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, has eternal life. But the one who does not believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. As long as anyone is still physically alive, he has the opportunity of entering into the first resurrection by simply believing in Jesus Christ. That brought us to point five. Physical death is the prerequisite for the resurrection. Now there are two exceptions to that, and that is the rapture generation of the church age. There is that one generation, the rapture generation, they will not die physically. They'll be physically alive, and in the splitting of an atom, in the twinkling of an eye, their physical body will be transformed into a resurrection body by God the Holy Spirit. We're already indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that indwelling of God the Holy Spirit at the moment of the second of the rapture will transform our physical body into a resurrection body, no physical death. So the rapture generation of the church age is one exception. And the second is the millennial believers alive at the end of time and human history. Physical death as a prerequisite for resurrection, we studied in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 52. That brought us to point six, and that's where we are. We just barely got started in point six. And we will be in point six all night tonight. Maybe to the wee hours of the morning. The resurrection is the Lord's victory. The resurrection is the Lord's victory. We have studied the first two subpoints of point six. The passage we noted was John 11, verse 25, where the Lord Jesus Christ said to Martha, I Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. The resurrection is the Lord's victory. Subpoint one, we noted just as the death of the believer is the Lord's victory, so the resurrection of the believer is also the Lord's victory. Subpoint two, the resurrection of the believer is the wise and sovereign decision of God. And this means that the believer's volition and individual merit are not factors at all in the resurrection. It has nothing to do with the rapture of the church. The resurrection is strictly the Lord's victory. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. For just as we have no control over the manner or time of our death, so we have no control over the manner or time of our resurrection. This is completely a matter of the wisdom and the sovereignty of God. Your resurrection does not depend in any way on what you do by way of works or what you do in your life. Winner believers and loser believers alike receive a resurrection body equally. There is no distinction. No distinction is made between winner believers and loser believers at the point of receiving our resurrection bodies. That distinction is reserved for the judgment seat of Christ. The rapture will never occur by your works, by what you do, by your merits, or by your evangelism. Now, there is a false doctrine that the fundies have got hold of, and it's all around. And it's this. First, we have to evangelize the whole world. The rapture can't happen until we evangelize the whole world. That is a total false doctrine nowhere in the Word of God. Now, I would love to just be invited to one of these churches and let me teach. Is God not fair? The world's been evangelized in every single generation of human history. Throughout human history, the world has been evangelized from the beginning of time. What do we know about God? Well, we use the word holy. What does that mean? God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. What does that mean? He's infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinitely fair. If the world was not evangelized all throughout human history, then God was not fair. But God is fair. He is holy. Anytime anyone in the human race attained God consciousness, anyone that attains God consciousness, God got the gospel to them so they could believe in Christ. All throughout human history. If God didn't do that, then God's not fair. But He is fair. The world's been evangelized in every generation of human history. So anyone, any place, anywhere who went positive in God consciousness, God got the gospel to them. Now there's sometimes in history there's very little positive volition to God consciousness. Other times there's a great amount of positive volition to God consciousness. But no matter either way, the world's been evangelized in every generation of human history. So those fundy idiots, and that's what they are, that say we have to first of all evangelize the world before the Lord can't come till we do that first. How arrogant can you become? The rapture doesn't depend on you. The rapture depends on God, not you. It's not who and what you are. It's not what you do by way of evangelism. There's nothing wrong with evangelism. We got evangelism coming up this Saturday. The evangelism team going to Boulder City and the veterans there at Boulder City. That's fantastic. They'll hear the grace gospel. They'll have the opportunity to believe in Christ as their Savior. And that's phenomenal. There's nothing wrong with evangelism, but God isn't waiting. He isn't up there saying, oh, will you hurry up and evangelize so I can come? No, he already knows exactly when he can. And I told you when it is, when the body of Christ is completed. So this is a false doctrine that we have to evangelize the world before the rapture can take place. We don't bring on the rapture by what we do, by our declarations, by our predictions, by our gathering, by our evangelism. So, resurrection is far, far greater than we are. Resurrection demonstrates how great God is. For in resurrection, God makes no distinction between those who completely fail to live the spiritual life and those who succeed in living the spiritual life. The resurrection has absolutely nothing to do with our winning the tactical victory in the angelic conflict or failing to do so. But it has everything to do with who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Subpoint 3. The time of the resurrection of the church is God's perfect decision. The time of the resurrection of the church is God's perfect decision based on the completion of the body of Christ. When that last church age believer believes in Christ and is baptized, entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, becomes a part of the body of Christ, union with Christ, royal family of God, that's when the rapture will take place. And the only one who knows that is the Lord Jesus Christ. 4, subpoint 4, like the death of the believer, the resurrection or the rapture is the decision of the sovereignty of God. Like the death of the believer, the resurrection or the rapture is the decision of the sovereignty of God. And therefore it is His victory alone. Subpoint 5. This victory illustrates the principle of grace. Grace. What is grace? Grace depends on who and what God is, not who and what we are. So this victory illustrates the principle of God's grace, because resurrection is totally the work of God. Totally the work of God provided for all believers. All believers. Whether they are winner believers or loser believers. So this victory illustrates the principle of God's grace, because resurrection is totally the work of God provided for all believers. Resurrection is divorced from any form of human ability, any form of human works or human achievement. It is strictly a matter of the grace and power of God. Subpoint 6. Just as the grace policy of God has provided everything that the believer needs while we're living here in time, and God has given us everything we need by His grace, Just as the grace policy of God has provided everything the believer needs for time, so the grace policy of God has provided everything the believer needs for the dying phase of his life. We all have a living phase and a dying phase. When you get to that dying phase, God has provided everything that you need for that dying phase of life. All of God's magnificent problem-solving devices, virtue love, personal love for the Father, and occupation with Christ. What's the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ? Sharing the happiness of God. So that means that you can go through the dying phase of life and be happy. Share the happiness of God while you're going through the dying phase of your life. Now, when you're in the living phase of your life, I know you, a lot of you associate happiness with a lot of different things. I mean, I have things that I like to do when I was in the living phase. I'm in the dying phase now. I know a lot of you look at me and say, boy, is he in the dying phase, let me tell you. Well, I had a lot of things that I have interested in. God knew what tickled my fancy. I grew up loving to hunt and loving to fish. God knew that. And He had a special greater grace blessing package with my name on it. Not the same as yours. Everybody's different. Some of the things, spiritual blessings, we all have in common. But God knows what tickles your fancy too. Just designed for you. With me, I love to hunt and I love to fish. And most of this congregation has gone hunting and fishing with us. And when I first came to Nevada, I thought, God, why did you bring me to Nevada? There's nothing here but desert, scorpions, lizards. I don't want to hunt lizards and put them on my wall. I thought, why would you bring me to a desert? Little did I know, God has... This is the greatest state in the Union. I know some of you know about Alaska. But Alaska is under ice most of the time. Nevada has the greatest hunting in the entire Union of America. Fantastic. And I didn't know that. And then I started putting in for deer tags and got drawn, and mule deer, and antelope tags, and elk tags, and desert bighorn sheep tags, and mountain goat tags, and all of these, and got drawn for all of them. And all of a sudden, I began to see what God was doing. This was a part of the package. And I got so that I never even concerned. I always put in for him. I get drawn for him. I remember Gene Peacock, who is now in heaven, and she came over to the house and we had dinner, and she's looking at all of my trophies around the room. She says, what's that big space over there on that wall for? I said, well, that's for my elk. I haven't gotten drawn for it yet. She said, well, you're going to get drawn this year. I'm going to be praying from now on that you get drawn for that elk tag. She started praying, I got drawn. And then I went elk hunting and shot a trophy elk, put it on that spot. And she told me, when you get drawn and you get your elk, and you will get your elk, I want you to invite me over so I can have my picture taken with it. So she did. She came over and got her picture taken with it. This is the greatest state for hunting and fishing in the United... Now, no salmon. If you want salmon, why go to Alaska? But Otherwise, this is fantastic. Now, I like all those things, sure. In the living phase, along with sports and athletics and working with my sons and hurdling and all those things. But here we see, just as the grace policy of God has provided everything the believer needs in the living phase of his life, so the grace policy of God has provided everything the believer needs for the dying phase of his life. For dying itself, death itself, for heaven, for resurrection, for the eternal state. Subpoint 7. Therefore, the resurrection of the church is strictly God's grace and God's decision, and therefore it is God's timing and God's victory. The resurrection of the church is strictly God's grace and God's decision, and therefore it is God's timing and God's victory. Subpoint 8. Since the resurrection of the church age believer does not depend upon any of our works, our evangelism, our speculation as to its time, it is strictly God's grace and God's victory. Since the resurrection of the church age believer does not depend upon any system of works or human merit or any form of speculation as to when it's going to occur, it's strictly God's grace and God's victory. Now, there are two major passages in the New Testament, and this is mysterion doctrine. The rapture is mysterion doctrine. That is, it's church age truth. MUSTERION. Transliterated mystery. It means it wasn't known about in Old Testament times. It was revealed in the New Testament epistles, primarily by the Apostle Paul. And in fact, the two central passages are written by Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, 1 Corinthians 15:51-58. Those are the two central passages. These truths were not known about in Old Testament time. The only way we learned about it was because the Apostle Paul, through the ministry of the Spirit of God, presented this church age truth to us about the rapture. So turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, the first one of these major passages on the doctrine of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. First Thessalonians 4, verse 13, which says, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, royal family of God, concerning those who are asleep." Now that's how God the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul talk about believers, church age believers, who have died. When the church age believer dies, he is said to be asleep. So, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep. Those believers, church age believers, who have died. Why? For the purpose that you may not grieve as the rest who have no hope. The rest who have no hope are unbelievers. Unbelievers have no hope. So, one, When the unbeliever approaches the grave, it is a time of no hope. When the unbeliever approaches the grave, it's a time of no hope. It's a time of death. It's a time of separation. He has nothing to look forward to on the other side. He has nothing, no hope on the other side. And he will wind up, he doesn't realize it, he'll wind up in torments in Hades and be kept there in torments in Hades until the second resurrection, where he will face the Lord Jesus Christ and then be cast into the lake of fire. And that's not a hope. The lake of fire is no hope. Subpoint two. But when the believer approaches the grave, he recognizes that this is only the beginning. When the believer approaches the grave, he recognizes that this is only the beginning. And that the very short time spent on this earth in the living phase is nothing, nothing compared to the eternal state and living with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever in heaven. We're only here on this earth a short time. But when you die, all you do is change your address. It's the beginning of all eternity. It's the beginning of being with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. And for the winner believer, for those of you who have lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advanced to maturity, when you are at the judgment seat of Christ, God will pour out on you crowns and rewards and greater grace blessing. And when he does that, those crowns and rewards will glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. So, but when the believer approaches the grave, he recognizes that this is only the beginning, and that the short time spent on this earth is nothing compared to the eternal state. Subpoint three. And therefore, we don't grieve like the unbelievers do. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. Because the death of the believer is the sovereign decision of God, and therefore it is his victory. So we don't grieve like the unbeliever. They have no hope. We have a great hope. The beginning of all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 14. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And again, that refers to believers who have died. God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, believers who have died. Subpoint one. This is analogous to body sleep. Body sleep. And then awakening in resurrection. So this is analogous to body sleep and then awakening in resurrection. Subpoint two. This is not soul sleep. The soul of the believer never dies. So this is not soul sleep. The soul of the believer never dies. You are alive when you fall asleep and alive when you wake up. The soul is still alive even if you die in your sleep. Subpoint three. The soul simply leaves the body. When you die, your soul simply leaves the body and goes into an interim body, face to face with the Lord, waiting for the rapture and the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We'll be seeing that in our next chapter. The soul simply leaves the body and goes into an interim body, face to face with the Lord, waiting for the rapture and receiving our resurrection body. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. Now, verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. For this doctrine we communicate to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, this is the rapture generation, and remain until the coming of the Lord, that's the rapture generation, we might be that, we might not, but we will not precede those who are asleep, believers who have died, church age believers who are died and are already in heaven in their interim body waiting for the resurrection, the rapture, and the resurrection body. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. In fact, the dead in Christ will rise first. So at the rapture, there's two groups. First of all the dead in Christ receive their resurrection body first. They're first. And then second, the rapture generation living at the time of the rapture, then they will receive their resurrection body. So, one, the voice command of the archangel is the voice command of Gabriel. The voice command of Gabriel assembles those who are alive on the earth, the rapture generation. So the voice command of the archangel Gabriel assembles those who are alive on earth, the rapture generation. Subpoint two. And then the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit provides for them their resurrection bodies. God the Holy Spirit is the one who provides the resurrection bodies for the rapture generation. He's already indwelling all of the royal family of God, and at the rapture, he's the one who transforms our physical body into resurrection body. That's the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit. So that rapture generation goes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the resurrection body. God the Holy Spirit provides resurrection bodies for living believers at the rapture. And this fulfills the phrase in 1 Corinthians 15:54, this mortal will have put on immortality. Subpoint three. The Holy Spirit who indwells the believer's body in the church age, universal indwelling of the Spirit, will change the believer's body from a mortal body to a resurrection body without that believer going through physical death. The Holy Spirit who indwells the believer's body, universal indwelling of the Spirit in the church age, will change the believer's body from a mortal body to a resurrection body without that believer going through physical death. Now, if God the Holy Spirit did not do this, then those who are alive at the rapture would have to die instantly to get a resurrection body from God the Father. But they don't have to die to get a resurrection body. they will receive their resurrection body in the splitting of an atom, twinkling of an eye, while they're living from physical body to resurrection body, like that. And they don't have to die instantly. Sub-point four. God the Father, at the trumpet sound, provides resurrection bodies for the believers in an interim body who are face to face with Him in heaven. These are all the church age saints who have died. They're already in heaven. They're already face to face with the Lord in heaven. And so God the Father at the trumpet sound provides resurrection bodies for these believers. They already are there in an interim body waiting for this resurrection body. And at the trumpet sound, God the Father provides that resurrection body for them. So sub-point five, the trumpet command is for the assembly of the dead in Christ. The trumpet command is for the assembly of the dead in Christ. The shout of the archangel Gabriel to assemble the believers living, the rapture generation, for the rapture. But the trumpet command is for the assembly of the dead in Christ. The omnipotence of God the Father provides for them resurrection bodies. These believers are the dead in Christ in heaven, and they receive their resurrection bodies from their Father, God the Father, in heaven. Verses 17 and 18. Then we who are living, the rapture generation, we who are living and remain on the earth shall be harpazoed.
There's the H. H-A-R-P-A-Z, long O.
Harpazo. Its translator shall be caught up. And this word is used,
what is it? The something in the darkness?
What? The ghost in the darkness. How many have seen the movie, The Ghost in the Darkness? Those lions came in and harpazoed. They would come into the hospital, and there was a guy there, and all of a sudden, hey, and he was gone. So if you've seen The Ghost in the Darkness, you know what harpazo is. And they would grab it, a guy, lion comes in, gets a hold of his head, oh, he's gone, harpazo. That's how the rapture is going to occur for you. Then we who are living and remain on the earth shall be harpazoed, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. And therefore, comfort each other with these words. One, the doctrine of the resurrection is a doctrine of great comfort and blessing. The doctrine of the resurrection is a doctrine of great comfort and blessing, but only to those who have personally believed in Jesus Christ. Point two, but for those who reject Christ as Savior, there is judgment at the second resurrection. And that's Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, the second death, the lake of fire. Now I want you to turn over to the second great passage on the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15. We've already studied verses 50 to 52, so let's start at verse 53. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. Again, this is Musterion, Church Age Truth. God the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to write about the resurrection of the royal family of God, the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For this perishable, that's the dead in Christ, must put on imperishable. And this mortal, that's believers living at the time of the rapture, must put on immortality. So there's two different things here. This perishable, the dead in Christ, must put on imperishable, their resurrection body, and this mortal, living believers at the rapture, must put on immortality. So, subpoint one, putting on the imperishable is a reference to the resurrection body given to those church age believers who have died. Putting on the imperishable is a reference to the resurrection body given to those church age believers who have died. A body never again subject to death. Subpoint two. For those who are alive at the rapture, they will receive an immortal body that is not subject to death and is eternal in nature. For those who are alive at the rapture, they will receive an immortal body that is not subject to death and is eternal in nature. Verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. Now, when this perishable will have put on the imperishable resurrection bodies through death, and this mortal will have put on immortality, resurrection body while alive, then the doctrine that stands written will occur. Death has been swallowed up because of the victory. One. Subpoint one. The ultimate victory for the royal family of God is the resurrection. The ultimate victory for the royal family of God, the church age saint, is the resurrection, the rapture. Why is it such a fantastic victory? Because it includes every single church age believer, all believers, winners and losers, positive and negative, babies and spiritually mature. Just because certain believers fail to live the spiritual life, they are not excluded from the resurrection, and that is the grace of God. The resurrection makes no distinction between winner believers and loser believers. Two, physical death of loser believers does not deprive the Lord of His victory, because it's His victory. Physical death of loser believers does not deprive the Lord of His victory. Because the resurrection is not our victory, it's the Lord's victory. Now, this is obvious to the spiritually mature believer who has already had an experiential victory of becoming a winner believer. But this is the Lord's victory of grace, since resurrection applies to all believers alike, and no distinction is made between winners and losers. 3. So, the final phrase of 1 Corinthians 15:54, death has been swallowed up because of victory, is very, very important. That final phrase of verse 54, death has been swallowed up because of victory, is very important. Man has absolutely nothing to do with receiving a resurrection body. Man has absolutely nothing to do with receiving a resurrection body. While the believer who has positive volition, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, who grows up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart after salvation, can have control over his life while living. The believer, however, has no control over the manner or time of his death, and no control over the manner or time of his resurrection. Receiving his resurrection body will occur instantaneously, and therefore resurrection is a grace function from the sovereignty and wisdom of God. 4. Our resurrection body is an eternal memorial to the grace of God. Our resurrection body is an eternal memorial to the grace of God. Five, the resurrection is a total divine victory, and therefore we can take no credit for it because we have no part in it. Six, death has been swallowed up and destroyed because of the Lord's victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54. Death has been swallowed up and destroyed because of the Lord's victory. There will be no death in the eternal state. Death is abolished with the possession of our resurrection body. So this quotation of Isaiah 25, verse 8, in 1 Corinthians 15:54, is a reference to the strategic victory of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. 7. The sign of our Lord's strategic victory was his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father. His resurrection body and his hypostatic union. So the sign of our Lord's strategic victory was his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your staying? Now that's a quotation from Hosea 13, verse 14. The only victory is God's victory of resurrection. Death has no victory. The only victory is God's victory of resurrection. Death has no victory. Now the sting of death is given in verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Well, that I want to go into in a little more detail, So we're going to start next week at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. And we'll continue. We're still in point 6. I told you we'd be in point 6 all night. And we'll pick it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.